from Providence, Rhode Island. Welcome to ParentCast, a podcast dedicated to new parents, new babies, and their new lives together. So listen and relax, because it's free, it's funny, and it's a lot better than therapy. I always want to do jazz hands at that last horn break.
Yeah, I'm not going to do jazz hands.
Well, I actually was doing it for you, so don't you fret. You can look at me across from the table and we'll see my fingers waving. Well, welcome everybody to ParentCast. This is episode 9, and I'm your host, Mary Larson.
And I'm a little distracted.
Why?
I'm not going to lie. I'm having a hard time focusing.
Do tell.
I'm having a hard time because the playoffs begin for hockey, and the Bruins are in them, and I can't focus.
I'm really sorry about that.
I'm like way too into it.
I'm way too over hockey because it is spring. So I've already had a taste of snow last week and I just want everything snow ice to go away. Winter is not coming.
Winter is coming.
We need to move on to spring.
Winter is leaving.
I just want pitchers and catchers. That's it. So anyway, this is episode 9 of ParentCast and Blake is going to try to be focused because today's topic is a pretty serious one.
I'm sorry, what? What were you saying?
Oh my goodness. It's about wills and trusts.
Oh yeah, man. This episode, I'm not going to lie, this is going to be a heavy episode.
Oh my gosh, no it's not. We have wine, we're ready to go. We're tackling something that is very important and you need to take care of it while you're alive. So first off, if you're listening to it yourself, if you can, pull yourself a glass of wine because you might need it to learn a little bit about all that you have to do to prepare for the afterlife.
Or maybe two glasses. Oh, no. You know what? Just get the bottle of Jack out and just start boozing.
Okay. Well, if you are, you might have your own judgment-free zone story yourself in the near future. Yeah. But I think it's time to jump into the judgment-free zone.
Boom. Well, I started it last week. And so, my darling wife, what do you got this week?
All right. So I have a pretty good story, and hopefully nobody who was around me listens to ParentCast. Hopefully they do, because then they'll know I was the culprit. So on Reese's birthday, I took him to an Eastside Music Together music class. We had a makeup class and absolutely love it. It's one of my favorite things to do with him. So we went to music class, and I noticed once we had gotten there that I forgot my diaper bag. So I was a little nervous about it, but you know, whatever. The kid's a year old. Like, I'm not going to have to worry about spit up or outfit changes. But
he'll
then, of course, he took a major dump. And it was a terrible smelling mess. And so I thought about it and I thought, okay, I can either leave music class. We just got here. Or I can let my kid sit in his diaper for an hour. The problem was that Reese was really friendly. So he just kind of worked the room that day and he crop dusted every single person in the room, almost like introducing himself. But I knew he was like, I'm going to go make a stank over here. So these people think it's the people next to them farting, but it's really me with my dirty diaper. Yeah, he just kept going around in circles. So I apologize to anyone in that class. It was my kid and I let it happen.
He was like a dog mocking his scent.
Oh, he was. He was. He definitely...
I own this joint.
I own all of you. Smell my poop. So that is my judgment-free zone story.
So before we get into the interview about the heavy topic of wills and trusts, make sure, you know, when you die, you get your stuff together. We actually had some listener feedback.
Ooh, do tell.
Which is really cool. We're actually interacting with you guys now, and I'm pretty excited about it.
They like us.
So Jessica R., on Facebook, she said she absolutely loved the Mom's Roundtable interview.
Aww.
Loved it. She said she was cracking up when you, Mrs. Mary Larson, were talking about how you were farting and not knowing about it.
People are just going to think I talk about farts now all the time if they're tuning in for the first time.
Well, she said like it happened to her. So, like, you're not the only person that this actually happened to, which is actually kind of remarkable.
Oh, thank God.
Colleen F. said that she also loved the episode, but it made her super emotional.
Oh my gosh, why?
Well, she was lucky that she was saying that we were lucky that we have a bunch of young people around us to have about the same experiences around us.
Yeah,
you know, and that she we can compare and contrast with each other. And like she said that she wanted like to be around us at the same time.
Well, Colleen, you get to be around us because you're a listener of Parent Cast. So we got you.
I know.
We
so
got
come,
you, girl.
So come down. Come down and hang out. And maybe you'll be on the next Mom's Round
You can
table.
Be on the next one via Skype. We're going to be getting in touch with you because that would be awesome. So, you know, the internet makes this happen.
So that was the listener feedback on episode 8. And but thank you so much, guys, for getting back to us and commenting on it.
Thank you. All right. So now that we've gone through all the lovely comments, it is time to get into our interview. All right. So joining us now is attorney Beth Phillips. Hi, Beth.
Hi, Mary.
We're actually related, so it's even cooler. So
good disclaimer.
I know.
Disclaimer.
Keeping it in the family.
Cousin's cousin.
So, Beth, why don't you tell our listeners what it is that you do?
Sure. I'm an estate planning attorney. And I practice at a firm in Warwick called Elder Law RI. I have clients of all ages, from people our age, young couples and individuals starting out, starting families, to our parents' age, our grandparents' age. And so we try to protect assets and help people develop estate plans that meet their needs.
Now, estate planning, that sounds like you need to be someone really fancy. You might have a harp inside of your house. You definitely have a butler. You're kind of Downton Abbey. Is that true?
I do love Downton Abbey.
You have a couple of valets in your house, don't you? Come on now.
Right. Right next to the old Honda.
What does estate planning mean?
Well, it's I guess it's a pretty broad term. It means that you have legal documents in place that will tell the world how you want your affairs managed, who will be in charge if you can't be in charge, if you're incapacitated in some way. You know, estate planning really is about not just when you die, but during your lifetime, if something happens and you cannot make your own decisions regarding healthcare or finances, then you need documents in place that will say who will do that for you. And then certainly when you pass away, how, you know, who will be in charge of managing your estate, how it will be divided, and who will benefit.
So, Beth, what is a trust? What is a will? And is there a specific difference between the two?
Oh, there is. There's a big difference between the two.
What are they then?
Sure. Well, a will is the legal document that it would name an executor, somebody who would be in charge of managing your estate when you pass away. They may have to do things such as sell your real estate, consolidate, liquidate financial accounts, make sure that the proper shares go to the persons that you name. And everything they do is subject to the probate court's oversight and approval. So a will requires a probate in your city or town. Every city or town has their own probate court. And it would require your executor to file your will and ask permission to do all of the things that your will lays out. And trust is, in my mind, more preferable because a trust is a contract, and it allows you to do all of these things in a private way. It doesn't have to be public information in the court. That reduces legal fees and time. A will takes upwards of 6 to 8 months just in the most plain vanilla of probates. So, you know, in order to...
And that's after your passing?
Yeah.
6 to 8 months?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So it's very time consuming, very expensive. It's a little more expensive to set up a trust initially than a will. But if you can kind of see the forest through the trees, then it's well worth it. It depends what your goals are and really what makes up your estate. Trust for parents, it's about asset protection for their children. Under a will, a child is entitled to their inheritance as soon as they're 18 in Rhode Island. And
so no matter what, then, they just get it at 18, that's it.
Yeah. I mean, think about when you were 18, if you came into...
I would have gone to Italy and just spent it on pizza.
I would have blown it on bud and like weed.
Like,
I would have. What do you want me to tell you? Sorry.
So yeah, so you can see. I mean, even someone in their early 20s, you know, a lot of people aren't mature enough to manage well. You know, it doesn't matter if you're getting just a few thousand or a lot more than that. In both a will or a trust, you can name guardians for your children. And this is huge, mm-hmm. because if you do nothing And God forbid, you know, the worst case scenario happens and both parents are either incapacitated or pass away, the family gets to squabble over who's going to raise the children, and you don't have a say. And the same person who actually raises the child doesn't necessarily have to manage the money. Mm-hmm. So there can be checks and balances. You know, trusts are great for protecting the money. If you think about what's going on in your beneficiaries' lives, they could have creditors coming after them. Mm-hmm. They could have need a bankruptcy. God forbid you have a son or daughter-in-law that you don't want to get a hold of your money.
Which does happen.
It does. And, you know, or just, you know, you could be living your life and you get in an accident, and then all of a sudden, if you're entitled to an inheritance outright and there's no discretion as to when to give it to you, then all of a sudden mom and dad's inheritance goes right out the door to mm-hmm. your creditors. So those are the big pros to trusts. And as far as parents are concerned, trust would enable them to dictate who manages the money for their children, who raises their children, and what parameters they should follow in giving distributions to the children.
So it sounds like if a set of parents are pretty wealthy, then the trust is probably the way to go. Or it does it depend on wealth? Like,
if, if you don't have to be rich to have a trust. I think that is a common perception of what a trust is about. But if you think about it, if you die, many parents obtain life insurance policies. And in many cases, there's hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars there. And so right off the bat, that's an awful lot of money that a child would be entitled to.
Sure.
And it needs to be managed properly. And even if it's not an estate that large, a trust avoids probate, avoids the fees and the time. It's a much smoother transition. At the end of the day, the fees for setting up a trust plan, you know, without getting into them specifically, are a heck of a lot cheaper than a long probate.
I don't even know what probate means.
In a way, you can think of probate as almost filing a lawsuit against yourself when you die. As you can tell, I don't like probate. Probate is just the term for properly determining how an estate needs to be administered. For example, life insurance policies have beneficiaries, and if you fill out the forms, it flows directly to your beneficiaries. You don't have to worry about a probate. The same with IRAs. But if you own a bank account or a house and it's just in your name and your spouse isn't on it, or your kids aren't entitled to inherit it pursuant to the deed, then you need a probate. So with spouses, if you own everything jointly, when the first spouse passes away, a probate may not really be an issue. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely a concern if you have assets that are separate. Mm-hmm.
Now, do we need a lawyer to create a will or a trust?
Absolutely.
And how come?
Well, I've had clients come to me with these internet or homemade documents, and inevitably they're just not sufficient.
I mean, we joked about Downton Abbey, and we all know when Matthew's will was found in the book.
Like, yeah, I know.
I was so mad at Matthew. He is an attorney.
He should know better.
He really
even if he is British.
That was so bad. And I know that the baby was just born, but
oh, spoiler alert by the goodness. Way. Spoiler alert.
Yes.
Sorry.
What happened on Downton would never pass muster under Rhode Island law, mm-hmm. Or Massachusetts law. You know, it must be validly executed according to state law, and there has to be language that comes directly from our state statutes incorporated into the will, which some of these online programs really don't have or don't have enough of. There's very specific procedures for executing a will. There must be two independent witnesses plus a notary present. So, you know, it's a formal thing.
Yeah, and yeah. I don't even understand half of the words that were just said, so I would definitely need someone
I'm
smarter
sorry.
Than me. But you know what I mean? It's just, yeah. As you said, all of these different documents and all mm-hmm. of the rules that are being put forth by mm-hmm. the state that you live in, mm-hmm. that you're right, I don't know about it.
a lot of attorneys will offer a free initial consultation, so you have nothing to lose by getting educated.
The reason that you're even here is because I posted on Facebook that I have no idea how to do any of this stuff, and I haven't created a will, nor have we created a trust or anything. Mm-hmm. So what happens, sadly, if Blake and I were to pass away tonight? What would happen if someone died? I know. Don't worry. It's okay.
I don't think it's going
to
happen.
No. But, you know, what would happen if you were to die and you didn't have a will?
Right. If you don't have a will, the state writes your will for you. It's called intestate. If you die intestate and the laws of intestacy take over, it's not as intuitive as you may think. I mean, certainly your son would be your beneficiary if there was a simultaneous death. If one spouse passes away without a will and they own assets individually that don't flow to the other spouse through joint ownership, there's a limit to the other spouse doesn't automatically get everything.
Wow.
So where does it go?
Well, a portion of it may go to children. If there are children, if there are no children, then it flows up to the parents if the parents are still alive.
Wow.
So there's a flow chart of relatives that would inherit under the laws of intestacy.
I don't even think I like all of these relatives. I don't want them taking my money.
I know, seriously. Like, all right, so let's just say for the sake of
argument. I like you, Beth, but yeah.
Well, it'd be a long flowchart to get to me from you, Mary.
so let's say that we both die. We both got hit by a bus, all right?
Oh, gosh.
And,
this is really morbid.
I know. Sorry, this topic is way heavy for our audience, but that's okay. We both get hit by a bus, right? And our son, he gets everything, well, or at least a portion of it.
Right.
Who's going to manage it for him? If it's just a will, like I know you said a trust would handle it, but
right. Well, you can still say in a will.
But what if we don't have one? Like, what happens?
Well, then somebody from one of your families is going to file a probate petition, because if there's no will, there's a type of petition for just estate administration, and then your families are going to have to figure out which side is going to raise Reese.
Oh, rock, paper, scissors, man.
Who's going to manage his assets.
Education.
And education. And
my God, that'd be a brawl. It would be. I'm sorry.
That's why. You just, it's so important. If you've done nothing, I mean, a well-rounded basic plan that parents should have are a nice solid will that specifically says who their executor would be. With spouses, it's often my spouse if they survive me. And then I always encourage people to think of alternates in the event that their spouse does not survive them. And who will be the guardian? Who will manage the money?
So who's in charge of the money and who is in charge of the kid? And it doesn't always need to be the same
person. It doesn't have to be. Along with a basic will, it's so important that people have powers of attorney documents, because they have a different function. A will or a trust, a will only comes into play upon death. Mm-hmm. A trust can be a lifetime or a death document. But just because you're married, it doesn't mean that you each have the authority to handle each other's finances or even medical.
Mm-hmm.
So you need healthcare directives, power of attorney, possibly a living will, even a HIPAA authorization that will allow you to get your spouse's medical records. If, God forbid, you need to explore a claim of some kind, malpractice claim, or just to get the records so you can help manage their health care. And then you need a financial power of attorney, a good, durable financial power of attorney that will allow you to do the banking, speak to the mortgage company, call the life insurance company, deal with the real estate, manage a business interest for somebody.
You know, my mind's spinning even hearing you say this, and I can only imagine having to go through this if it weren't put in plan and I just lost my spouse, you know, if I weren't able to do all of this. So I think, you know, it's important to think about taking care of this, you know, while we're perfectly healthy and fine, because it sounds like there's so much to juggle that we may not even have control over.
It's not hard to get good basic plans in place. And as long as you can be in agreement about the guardian, that seems to be, for my friends, a tough conversation sometimes, or a tough decision. If you can decide who will be your named persons, who will be your agents responsible for your affairs, and also who will be your beneficiaries and how your estate will be divided, it's not hard to get these documents in place. And you do it you get it done and you have the peace of mind.
Now, do both of us need to make a will or a trust?
Yes.
Okay. And is that something that generally will happen where a couple can come in together at the same time?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I would recommend a couple would come in together at the same time. So that's important. Each person should each have their own set of documents. A trust can be a joint.
Okay.
But wills are separate.
So then with all that in mind, mm-hmm. How does one decide if a trust or a will is the right choice for that? Like, I know you love trusts, but yeah. Like for someone like that doesn't know, how do you decide which one's right?
Well, it depends what your goals ultimately are. If you feel strongly about avoiding probate in the future, if you feel strongly that the potential inheritance for your child needs to be managed for their benefit for however long, and you know, until a trustee determines they're mature enough to handle it.
Can you tell the trustee, hey, I want my kid to have, regardless of whatever it is, I want him to have the money at 25?
You can say whatever you want. It's your estate plan. I caution against specific age distributions, because what if your kid is a mess at 25?
Sure.
And the document says they have to get it at 25. There's little ways around that. So it's more about discretion in the trustee's judgment. Is this kid ready to receive their inheritance?
So in light of that, then, can anything be put into a will? Like, I want my, it's something like unconscionable, like I want my dog to have all my money, you know, or can
I've done a pet trust.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Oh my god. Well, I just pets, made that up out of thin air.
Pets are babies.
Oh my word.
Yeah.
Like, but like, can you say I want the bum on the street that's next to the Starbucks?
You can say anything you want. You really can. You really can.
How can you avoid the will or trust being challenged legally?
Well, you can't. If somebody wants to file a lawsuit, you can't.
I mean, you're dead. You can't right. Stop them.
That's why it's my job as an attorney to make sure that the people I'm working with, they understand what they're doing. They understand how the document's going to work. They know who their heirs are. If somebody wants to contest it down the line, good luck.
Can you just give me a specific definition of a guardian and like what they do?
Well, a guardian would be the equivalent of a parent. They would have all of the authority a parent would have as far as making decisions for that child, whether it's religious, education, mm-hmm. financial, healthcare.
Would the kid have to go live with the guardian at that point?
Yeah.
So we could just say, hey, I want my best friend to be the guardian of my kid.
And that's common because, you know, our parents are getting older. And mm-hmm. if you ask them, they may say, of course I would be. But do you want your child being raised by someone in their 60s, 70s or older? Is that really practical? So a lot of people do choose good friends.
So say we do come to an agreement, because mm-hmm. as you said, this is generally the hardest thing that parents have to deal with is figuring out who the guardians will be. Mm-hmm. Do you need backup guardians, you know, in this will or in this trust?
I mean, if you can think of an alternate, I would say yes, include it, just in case the people you name are unable to do it for some reason. On all of the roles in an estate plan, an executor, I would say name an alternate. A power of attorney, name an alternate. And with a guardian, it's a good idea.
Now, is debt somehow included in this trust or in these wills? How does debt play a factor?
So that's another, sort of another advantage to trust, because with wills, you have to give notice to not only the person's heirs at law, the people who the law says in their family are entitled to notice, but your creditors are entitled to notice that you've passed away and can file claims against your probate estate.
So they can take your money away without the will knowing, or I mean, without.
Well, they file claims with the probate court. And so, you know, there's a certain order of how expenses are paid in a probate administration, and, you know, creditors get paid before the money is distributed to the beneficiaries, to the kids.
When it's a will, you said, but is it different mm-hmm. when it's a trust?
Yeah, with a trust, there's a little bit more asset protection. It's private.
Yeah.
So there may be some bills that need to be paid. Creditors really don't have anywhere to file claims.
Well, we asked our friends on Facebook, our, mm-hmm. our listeners on Facebook, if they had any questions. And Rebecca B., she asks, once written, how often should you be updating your will or trust?
So the typical lawyer answer would be, it depends. And I mean, I hear a lot of lawyers say 3 to 5 years, you should always review it to make sure that it still meets your needs, meets your goals. if your family structure changes, if you have more children, if you get divorced, if you get remarried, if your financial situation dramatically changes. Then,
is there financial upkeep each time you do revisit this, or is it kind of, you know, because you're having an appointment, I assume, when you revisit this trust or will, correct?
It's an appointment. Yeah.
Okay. But you don't have to have the entire thing rewritten. Is it just kind of you make a change?
There may be amendments.
Okay. Yes.
Or you may scrap it and redo.
Say let's redo. Yep.
Jessica C. asks, if someone doesn't have a whole lot of money to spend on lawyer's fees, mm-hmm. and they want to just get the best protection they can for their kids, what are the bare minimum amount of documents needed to be sure that the finances and the kid will be properly looked after?
Sure. I think a solid basic plan would be a will and durable power of attorney for financial matters and healthcare powers of attorney.
Now, Larina S., she has a combined family, mm-hmm. not Fanny. That would be awkward.
Well, she'd like have multiple butts.
all of the kids live with she and her husband, and they're wondering if they're able to specify who the kids would live with in the event or either of their passings, and if there's an age of where the children might actually be able to have more influence.
Sure. Well, blended families are common, and this is another scenario where trusts are really important because they ensure that the surviving spouse is taken care of, but also protects an inheritance for children from a prior marriage, because if the stepmom or stepdad gets everything, then your children may not. But family law attorney might correct me on this, but I think that as the kids get a little bit older, late tweens, early teens, then a court will really take into consideration. There's a number of factors a court will look at to determine what is in the best interest of the child. And as the child gets into their teens, they will have input.
Mm-hmm. And Cara B. is wondering how to pick a guardian. Her parents, as you said, you know, our parents are aging,
yeah.
and she doesn't really have any immediate family members that she would be able to pick. So how do we even figure out who should be a guardian?
Well, they have to be people probably that would raise the children in a way that you know you'd be happy with. You know, is their religion important or not? Is where they live or how they live? Do you like their home? Do you like the atmosphere in their home? Do you think they're raising nice children?
Yeah. That must be a really heavy dinner when you take your friends out and you're like, hey, I'm going to pick up the tab, by the way.
You got to take care of my kids for the rest of your life. Drop the mic.
My response would be, how much life insurance do you have?
I know, right? So that pretty much wraps up our listener questions for the day, and we're almost done here.
Mm-hmm.
But Beth, of course, our last question is always the same question, and I always ask it. If there's one thing the listeners should take from you and the things that we've covered or haven't covered in this conversation, what is it, and what would you like to most emphasize about wills and trusts?
Just that you have nothing to lose by getting educated and getting information from an attorney that an attorney that you know practices this type of law as their main focus, someone that you personally can get along with and have a good rapport with. And you have nothing to lose by just getting information, and you can make a good decision from there. So.
Like Saul on Breaking Bad. Ever watch Breaking Bad? See Saul Goodman? No.
My husband does. Oh, okay. And I've seen snippets. Are you comparing me to Saul?
No, God, no. Go. No, you're much prettier than he is.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
So, Beth, if somebody wants to speak to you or find out more information about wills and trusts
sure.
through you, or if they want to set up a little consultation, how could they get in contact with you?
They can reach me right through our website, which is elderlawrillc.com.
Awesome. Well, that just about wraps it all up. Thank you so much, Beth, for coming in today. We loved having you.
Oh, I loved being here. Thank
and
you for having
cupcakes.
Me.
Cupcakes.
Oh, the best kind of cupcakes, too. I had the s'mores one. Oh, I'm going to dream about that later on tonight.
And she helped sweeten up what could have been, you know, a little doldrum of a conversation. So, you know, as you said, the biggest thing is education, and
right.
I feel educated.
Well, thanks, Beth. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Blake, so how do you feel about wills and trusts now?
Well, despite the dire nature of her topics today, she was actually really sweet, very nice, very funny.
Yes, and very down to earth. I mean, it's a tough topic to talk about. So you really do. You need someone who's warm and funny and is real with you about such a heavy topic.
But also like knowing what you're talking about. Like you could tell like she's super smart. Like, she knows what she's doing.
Doesn't help that we're related. I mean, that, but she does. She
apparently
definitely
it runs
knows
in the
her
DNA.
Stuff. Oh, yes, yes. I'll have another glass of wine.
Yeah, I was just going to say, keep drinking.
No, but she really did. She did a great job. And I think that we now are more prepared. We also need to get our stuff together. So.
Yeah, no, we haven't done anything. We're not prepared at all. No. I mean, we have like a concept, you know, of what we got
to
do.
I feel like we need to walk around with a lifesaver strapped to us until we have something figured out.
No, we need a lightsaber. That's what we need.
Ooh.
That way we can fend off any of our enemies.
All right. Well, on that note, let's jump into the wins of the week.
It's the wines.
Oh, I just wanted to start with something positive because
this was such
a tough topic.
Sorry,
all right,
it's wines.
Fine. We'll do the wines of the week.
It's wines.
Blake, what is your wine of the week?
Well, guess what?
Chicken butt?
No.
Okay, what?
Quite the good guess, Mary.
Thank you. I'm like a fourth grader.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
No. Anyway, what's your wine?
I'm going to do it. I'm going to finally do it. I'm going to complain.
Okay, go for it.
I'm going to complain that I'm tired.
Oh, it's been a year.
I'm tired.
You can complain.
I'm exhausted.
Do tell.
I cannot keep my eyes open. I'm walking around in a haze.
Oh.
I feel like my eyes are just pulled. My eyes have a heartbeat. Like, that's what they feel like.
Yeah.
Seriously. You want to know why? Oddly enough, it's because my kid's sleeping through the night now.
I know.
And thank you. I'm so happy. But now, like, my body's, like, adjusting to the fact, like, it's like, oh, my God. What is this force of nature that you're doing? You don't do this. This whole sleeping thing. And, like, you have to get used to it again.
Yeah, it's really a difficult transition. Studies even show that if you go a really long time without sleep, once you finally start to get it, your body almost wants to be hibernated. You know, it's like you need to shut down for a while to make up this debt of sleep you have. So I'm really sorry.
I know. It sucks, dude. I can't concentrate at work. I can't do anything. Never mind the fact that the playoffs are going on again. Like I said, I can't do anything.
I know.
You're lucky I'm even doing this podcast.
I am very lucky.
I can't even form sentences.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thanks. I'm awesome. All right, girlfriend, how about you? What do you got for your wine?
My wine is definitely Pinterest. I have a love-hate relationship with Pinterest. And as we just said, it was Reese's first birthday recently. And I kind of felt like a bad mom because I didn't have a Pinterest party. You know, I did one thing I found off Pinterest. I put blueberries on his cake in the shape of the number one.
Which was wicked cool, by the way.
I know, because then he knew it was food. So that was cool. But aside from that, I didn't really do anything else for his party. And it still turned out okay. But Pinterest kind of gave me a little bit of a guilt trip leading up to it. Like, oh, maybe I should be making these homemade pinatas for my one-year-old or something crazy like that. So, Pinterest just made me feel a little bad about myself.
You know what?
You
should, you shouldn't feel bad about yourself. You want to know why?
Why?
It's because you're a mom.
Oh, thank you.
You rule at your job. And like, I'm not even like blowing smoke. You're really good at it. And for all the, like those super moms out there that have all those huge Pinterest parties.
But good for them.
I'm happy for you. You're doing what you do. But like, you shouldn't make other moms who just want to like celebrate their kid and like have time with their family. You shouldn't make them feel bad about it.
I don't think they do. I think Pinterest makes me feel bad about it.
Well,
I make me.
But yeah,
that's
but
why Pinterest.
But who's
is
controlling
my wine?
Pinterest though?
No. I'm the one that's on it. That is my wine. Is Pinterest? Like I will click on that app and I will search first birthday parties and I will see all these amazing pictures and it's my own fault. So I just I need to go on Pinterest detox when I feel bad. So that's definitely my wine.
All right, how about a happier topic? Let's get into the wins. Well, Marvin, what do you got? What's your win?
My win of the week has to actually do with Reese's birthday party.
Okay, go ahead.
So I survived it, which is huge, because what kept playing in my mind the entire time, you know how you stood up and you did a nice little speech thanking everyone for being there?
Actually, yeah, I was actually kind of awesome at it too.
I had a speech in my mind and I just said it to myself and I was smiling in my head for it. So I basically had the speech that Bilbo Baggins says in The Hobbit and he says...
Whoa, time out.
Let me just say it, okay? Just listen to this.
Okay. Okay, go ahead.
I don't know half of you half as well as I should like. And I like less than half of you half as well as you deserve. And that's how I felt in that moment where I'm standing up there and I'm being silent. I am proudly stating Bilbo Baggins' words in my head because... I made it through that party, and there were a couple people who I was like, I invited you because it's a first birthday, and now my job is done. And there are a lot of people here who like me, and a few people here who don't. Guess what? See you later.
And I don't care.
So
get out of my house.
So literally, I had Bilbo Baggins' Hobbit quote running through my mind, and that was my win.
Okay, this is why we're married, all right? You're quoting Bilbo Baggins.
Yeah, I know. I know.
God, I am so in love with you.
It's pretty much one of my favorite quotes, I'm not going to lie. He's basically saying, I want to be friends with half of you, and there's a couple people here who I really don't
care about. It like kind of encapsulates our life.
Yeah, yeah. So I felt like it was a win. I felt like I accomplished the first birthday party. How about you? What was your win?
My win was Daniel Murphy.
Who's that?
The second baseman of the New York Metropolitan Baseball Team, the Mets.
Oh, okay.
You know, I was really proud of him. He took some time off when his wife was having a baby. If you guys don't know yet, the opening day for baseball happened a few weeks ago, and this guy decided, hey, my kids, he didn't decide, but my wife's having a kid, and I'm taking the time off. And he's got a whole bunch of these guys like criticizing him for taking time off to be with his wife for like 3 days.
All he took off was 3 days?
3 days. Well, that's what he's allotted by the CBA, the collective bargaining agreement, but for Major League Baseball. He's allowed 3 days, okay, by Major League Baseball.
And for the guy paternity leave.
And he got these guys sitting there saying, hey, you should be there for your team, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And one guy, Boomer Esiason, went out there and said, I would have scheduled a C-section for my wife before the season.
Wait, okay, let me rephrase this. So basically, people are telling this guy that he should have had a C-section, his wife should have had a C-section, yeah, so that he didn't miss a game?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? I will say this. For some guys to sit there and say, well, you should be there for your team, you paid millions of dollars, they count on you, he's the starting second baseman, I actually kind of get that. I kind of do. He should probably take a day, but after that, all right, time to pony up, you're getting paid millions, go be there for your team. It's opening day. But Boomer Esiason, I got one word for you. Clown. I cannot think of a worse word to call somebody on this planet. You are a clown. And I used to love you. You had great takes, but now you're just a clown to me, dude.
So wait, why is this a win? I feel like you're very negative right now.
No, it's a win because it's pride for guys that who want to stick by their wives and be there for them. And the guy gave the giant bird to everybody else that said, "Oh, you should be at your game." And the guy's like, "No, I'm not doing that. I'm staying here with my wife." That's a huge win. I'm so proud of him.
Well, it's a really good win. Well, let's move on to the parent picks of the week.
Before we get started, I just want on the parent pick, I just want to say one thing. One shout out to one of our listeners, Magdalena B.
Why?
You are awesome. I just, you know, you just made my week when I saw this comment. You recognize the fact that this was Dexter music. So Magdalena, this is Dexter time for you. Mary, hit it again. I want to hear it again.
Okay. You're killing me, Smalls. So let's jump in quickly. What is your parent pick of the week?
The Weisbluth sleeping method. If that's your name, dude, I don't know what your name is, but you have just saved my life.
How so?
This guy or girl, I don't even know what you are, dude, but you have come up with this method called the extinction method.
Oh, it's so sad.
It sounds like so dire. It's almost as dire as wills and trusts. I know. It's crazy. No, but this guy came up with this method where you put your kid in the bedroom and he stays there from 6 p.m. or whatever time he goes to bed until 6 in the morning. You do not go back in that bedroom until 6 in the morning hits. And that first night when he was sleeping, he wasn't sleeping. It was painful. But after that, he has decided, my son has decided, I'm sleeping through the night now. And he sleeps from 6 to 6. And I can't get enough.
I know.
It's liberating.
It is.
I'm an actual human again.
Well, no, we're not. We're exhausted. But yeah,
eventually we'll be humans.
Yeah, I'm excited about that. Well, my pick is along those same lines about having an earlier bedtime. So mind you, a lot of you out there might have wonderful sleeping cherubs. If so, enjoy it.
Damn you.
But if you have a child who fights sleep as much as our kid does, A, pick up this book. B, pour yourself a glass of wine because it is difficult. And C, put your baby to bed earlier. And it's definitely hard, especially, you know, if you're working because you only get to see your kid for maybe an hour, hour and a half. But putting our child down for an earlier night's sleep has completely changed who he is. So that's my parent pick of the week.
Extra time. So I hope you had a good Easter. I know we did.
Or had a very good Passover. I ate some matzo bread.
I know. I mean, Passover's great. I mean, I'm not into it all that much, but happy Passover.
Okay. Well, we would love to hear from you guys.
Keep getting back to us.
Please. We love the feedback. Remember, you can check us out at parentcastpodcast.com.
Or if you're into the Facebook fad, you can get us at Facebook.com/parentcast.
Tweet us at parentcast.
And then by the old Gmail at parentcast@gmail.com.
We love to hear from you guys. Blake, what do we have coming up next week?
Episode 10 is all about newborn etiquette. So what to do and what not to do when visiting new parents.
Ooh, that's very helpful for people. I like that. And we're in the double digits. This is huge.
Oh, double digits. So hey, make sure you get that listener feedback to us again. We had some people make it today. So always, as always, if it's good, we'll put it on. And like if it sucks, well then, you're left out. Bye.
Parentcast is a Tall Mom Media production. Please do not take anything that we say as true facts. We are not specialists or really anything. We're just parents who are trying to figure this thing out. So research things on your own.
Don't sue us.
Please.
We'll pull.